Morning, church. You can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Put a finger there and put a finger in Genesis chapter 27. Have you ever met a perfect person? Well, Justin's saying yes. No, me either. Except I do have a few people that I would consider very close to perfect. One of those is my wife, but she made at least one mistake in her life, and that was marrying me. Ryan just said amen to that. No, he didn't. But this morning, we may have a tendency to look at these people that in which we've been talking about and hold them up to some very high standard. Like, we call these church fathers, the fathers of the faith, Father Abraham. We have Isaac, and we will see Jacob and Joseph in the coming weeks. But this morning, it is very clear that these men still had issues, that they were not perfect, just like you and me. They had problems in their life in which can only be called out by sin. Like, that's what we're going to say. They were sinful people. And in the case of Isaac today, it will be, I believe, very clear in that. But let's start in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to do as John has done the last several weeks, and we're going to read the first three verses of the chapter to give us what faith is, and then we're going to jump down and just read verse 20. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that it was seen, that it is seen, was not made out of things that are visible. And verse 20 says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And go ahead and you can flip over to Genesis chapter 27, and we'll get there in just a moment. But as we do, I don't have time to read everything about Isaac's life, so I want us to just make sure that we understand. Isaac actually doesn't have as many words in Scripture as these other guys that we've been talking about. Abraham has chapters, several, many chapters, many words written about him. We will see Jacob have many things said about him, and then Joseph. We have a much more detailed account of their life and the things that they went through. But Isaac really only has 2.5 chapters that are specifically about his life. And so we don't have as much about him, but there are some things we know. Last week, John got up here and preached through Abraham offering up Isaac as a sacrifice. But even before that, I believe, is where the story of Isaac begins. And I want to read that for us because it does play into this. Genesis chapter 17 is where God gave His covenant with Abraham. And Genesis chapter 17, the verse 4 says, behold, my covenant is with you. He's talking to Abraham. Is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And this really is part of Isaac's story and the story of all those that would follow. Because, again, God repeats this to Isaac himself. This is not something that was just handed down to Isaac via words, but it was actually handed down to him verbally from God. And so we see this in chapter 26. 26, verses 2 through 4. And this is God talking to Isaac now. "And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.'" So here we see God having his covenant, not just with Abraham, but with Isaac, the lineage of Abraham. And so we get this far, but moving forward, his life runs fairly quickly through Scripture. And we see that Isaac has two sons by his wife Rebekah. And God says of these two sons that there are two nations are in your womb, and two people are from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And so here is Esau and Jacob in the womb, and God's calling them out and says the younger is going to serve the older. And so God said this to them. And that's where we're at. That's what we're coming to today, is this idea that God has told Isaac something and it is going to come to pass. And that's where we're going to start this morning. Because Isaac had knowledge. He knew all the things that his dad had taught him. He not only knew them because his dad taught him, but he knew them because he heard them from God. He had been given the covenant from God, and then from God he heard what his two sons were going to do. That the younger was going to serve the older. And so this is not something that Isaac is just taking his daddy's word on. This is something that he has heard directly from God on. And so he has this knowledge, and we haven't even said, but he was there when his daddy tried to kill him. I mean, it wasn't like he was separated from his body and he blocked. He may have had a mental issue after that. I don't know if my daddy was put me on a pedestal and tried to kill me. I might would have issues too. I might would block that from my mind and not remember it. But let's just pretend like he probably remembers that. And so he saw the hand of God at work in his life. He was there, present for it. He heard the voice of God. He has this knowledge, but I want us to make sure this morning that we realize that Isaac's knowledge did not produce his faith. It wasn't the fact that Isaac knew the covenant that he had faith. It wasn't the fact that Isaac knew what had happened between him and his father and knew that God had stopped that. It wasn't the fact that he knew that God had called his sons to be something. This was not what had produced his faith, because we know that his faith were in the things to come. For us, it is in Christ who has come. And it is the same faith today that it was for Isaac. Let's go. Oh, well, I never did read for you. Oh, hold on. Look back up. Let's read this blessing. And then we're going to run over to Romans. All right. Chapter 27 of Genesis. Some of you still got your finger there. Some of you don't. Verse 27, this is Isaac blessing the younger son, Jacob. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And skipping down a little bit further, we see Isaac blessing Esau. He says, behold, in verse 39, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of the heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. And I know that we probably will hear at least some of this next week when we talk about Jacob, but we need to realize that Jacob was deceptive in receiving this blessing. Him and his mom schemed things together to get here. His father, Isaac, was visibly upset when he found out that he had been deceived. And his brother Esau was even more furious and even lies about his brother in the middle of that. It's like, Jacob stole my birthright. Well, this week, go back and read that account. He willingly gave over his birthright to his brother. And so this is a tense situation in the life of this family. And we'll get into it more, but Isaac's faith was not produced by his knowledge. It was not because of who his daddy was. If anybody ever had the right to say, well, I'm saved because of who my daddy was, it's probably Isaac. Because God said, we have Father Abraham who said, I'm going to have a covenant with you and your sons. So Isaac could have claimed, I'm Abraham's blood, I'm in the faith. It is not because of who his daddy was. It is not because he was circumcised or any other act of obedience. It was not, as it is today, it is not our act of obedience. It is, let's read in Romans chapter 2. Verses 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And the thought is the letter of the law there. So, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And skipping over to Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who have descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. We see here that it is not a physical connection to Abraham that saved Isaac. And we can go to our favorite book here at North Hills, Ephesians, in chapter 2. For it is grace, it is by grace, through faith, you have been saved. Not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are all the workmanship of Christ, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the idea, even in Isaac's life, so many years before these words were written. It wasn't the fact that Isaac was Abraham's lineage. It wasn't the fact that he followed God, because we actually see him trying to avert God's will. I asked you to start, well, you ever met a perfect person? And I said, today we're going to see that Isaac wasn't necessarily a perfect person. He wasn't at all. Some things that I read preparing for this were pretty harsh on Isaac. I can't be harsh on Isaac because I would have done worse. I would have done even more. Isaac was doing what he felt in his heart. He followed his heart, loving Esau more than Jacob and trying to bless Esau. And the Lord, his providence was clearly displayed in this story. It was not averted by man's action. I mean, Esau and Isaac had this thing figured out. I mean, Esau was the rightful one in line to receive the blessing from Isaac, and Isaac wanted to give it to him. And so it was like, it's a done deal. You go get me some meat, you bring it back, we're going to do this deal. They had it all figured out, and the Lord even used what I would call sinful actions of man to bring about his providence. So Isaac's knowledge, his understanding, did not bring about faith in him. His faith was given by God by grace. The grace of God bestowed the faith in Isaac. I'm going to read a little quote from J.C. Ryle out of this book. And we have these books back there, Holiness by J.C. Ryle. Pick one up. It's yours, free. And if anybody's watching online and you want one, if you live in town, I will bring it to you. You can come by the church and get it. But J.C. Ryle says this: the holiest action of the holiest saint that ever lived are all the more or less full of defects and imperfections. They are either wrong in their motive or defective in their performance, and in themselves are nothing better than splendid sins. That splendid sins is a great term. Deserving God's wrath and condemnation. To suppose that such actions can stand the severity of God's judgment, atone for sin, and merit heaven is simply absurd. And he quotes Romans chapter 3 here. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. We maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The only righteousness in which we can appear before God is the righteousness of another, the perfect righteousness of our substitute and representative, Jesus Christ. It is because of what will be to come in Isaac's life that he has faith. It is God putting forth in him faith of what God is going to do, his plan. But also, it wasn't his knowledge that produced this faith, but I want us also to understand, because I think that we get this idea sometimes. Isaac's disobedience did not negate his faith. So Isaac trying to avert God's will did not negate the fact that he had faith. So Isaac was determined to bless Esau. We even see that he was furious, shook violently, I believe Scripture says, following that. God's providence on full display. Isaac obviously either completely misunderstood what God was wanting to do, but more likely, Isaac was following his own will and not the will of the Father. Disobedience does not negate faith, but faith produces obedience. And so we see in Isaac's life this, I didn't even mention that Isaac did something that his daddy did back in chapter 26. A lot of times we point to Abraham and say, yeah, you told somebody that your wife was your sister. Not once, but twice in your life. But he passed it down to his kid. And Isaac did the same thing to Abimelech. He told Abimelech that, oh, this is my sister. Which Abimelech got upset over. And we just see again Jacob, in that case, not trusting what the Lord had told him, because it is directly after he had renewed the covenant. He had stated the covenant again to him. And so we see in Isaac's life, that he had his own thoughts and the way things should be. And we see that in the blessing of Esau and Jacob. But what we see in the end is this. Chapter 28. So this is following the initial blessing of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob's mother, Rebekah, has concerns about who Jacob is going to marry. And so his father is sending him off to his uncle's house to find a wife. And in verse 1 of chapter 28, it says, Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of people. May He give the blessings of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, and that you may take possession of the land of your sojourning that God gave to Abraham. Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, and the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And we see a complete change in Isaac in the matter of just a few words in Scripture. We see him go from shaking violently and being upset at what his will being thwarted, his personal Isaac's will being not coming to pass, and seeing what the Lord has done and him understanding, having right understanding, and thus obeying the Lord and doing it rightfully to Jacob. We see him again blessing Jacob and going further in his blessings in showing, hey, this is the will of the Father. This is what God has been saying to us. My father has been given this covenant from God, and this is what is going to come to pass. It is going to come through Jacob. It is God's will. Isaac's faith was not any more or less about his actions, but the Lord working and brought about a time when Isaac rightfully blessed Jacob and his faith was on full display. Because we could have looked at this first blessing and said, I don't think Isaac made the cut to get into Hebrews chapter 11. That's really not faithful when you have to be deceived to follow the Lord. You know, if I have to be tricked into following the Lord, I don't know about that. But what we see is God's providence, and we see His ultimately that the faith that the Lord has instilled him is bringing about obedience and right understanding. So Jacob's knowledge, his understanding did not bring about faith. His disobedience did not negate his faith. However, his faith did bring about right understanding, and it brought about obedience. So what do we get from this? What is it for us? And the thing that we need to understand, we need to know, is that because we have the knowledge, because we know something, or because we are striving to achieve something, or because we are working towards something, doesn't mean that it is faith in us. Faith comes by grace, not by the work of our hand. Second, if we have been blessed with saving faith, if we are saved, if God has given us grace, and we are saved by grace through faith, it will be transforming us into right understanding and obedience. If we see neither of those in our lives, it is a reason to fall at the feet of the cross. If we see that we are continually at opposition with what the Lord has said, we need to run to the cross. If we are continually disobedient to the things of God, we need to run to the cross. God is saving His people by faith in Christ, who has come and is transforming them into His image. That's how we know if one is saved. It does not mean that we're perfect if you were saved. Obviously, Isaac wasn't perfect. You and I aren't perfect, and we just agreed when we started this thing that none of us have met a perfect person. Except for my wife, who's only made one mistake in her life. It's not because of us, but because of Christ Jesus and His work. Isaac had the hope and the promise of a Savior to come, and we have the realization of that. We have Christ Jesus. And so, as we go out, as we do have faith, may it bring about right understanding and obedience to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we understand that our will gets in the way. We understand that we don't have right understanding much of the time. I understand that it's only because of you that I can have those things, that I can understand, that I can know, and that I can do. God, may you humble us in that. May we see this world through your eyes. May you use us, mold us into your image. So that the nations would come to you. Father, may you bring about obedience in my life and right understanding so that your word may be proclaimed and people come to know you as Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus Christ that we pray.